Bob Wenzel is the owner of Wenzel Violins in War Road, Minnesota. He's been making guitars and violins there for over 40 years and now teaches it too. Bob Wenzel spoke recently with Northern Community Radio producer Alana Yost.
So, Bob, can you tell us a little bit about how and where you learned to make violins?
The first place I went was Mexico City. Back when I started learning violin making, geez, there was no place to get information. There was one book in the world, at least known to me.
Wow.
So I ended up in Mexico City studying at the School of Music. There were four students and two teachers, and tuition was $8 a year.
$8 a year. Incredible. And what year was that, Bob?
That was 1973, I believe.
So violin making, it's a science, but it's also an art. And with violins, what makes a quality instrument?
The main thing you need to know when you're making instruments, I believe, is knowledge of wood, your knowledge of wood and how to use it.
Yeah, and tell me a little bit about some of your woods. There are certain things that you look for when you're sourcing these raw materials.
Well, there is. You look for the grain lines. For the tops, we use spruce. For guitars, you can use cedar, you can use redwood, other conifers. But for violins, basically spruce, good German spruce. But it's good wood is where you find it. It doesn't have to be any species or from any country or anything exotic like that. So you look and feel and tap on the wood to see if it's resonant. And the resonance is important. And then with the back is more a reflector of the top acting under string pressure. So the back is harder, and you can use maple for violins. It's usually maple. But for guitars, again, it runs a gamut. You can use rosewood or oak or birch or anything, really.
We're talking with Bob Wenzel, who's the owner of Wenzel Violins, and he's been making violins for years and is now teaching. Bob, on your website, you write that the woods that you use for instruments today, you actually purchased in the 1990s. Why is there such a time lag between purchase date and usable date?
Well, we have to let the wood dry, but the older it is up to a certain point, the better it is, because the sap, you know, gets harder, and that gives it a different tonality that's difficult to duplicate from green wood. I actually cut that wood back then, and so that's just been around my shop. But you can use wood that's a year old if it's dry. But the older wood is more stable, so it's more desirable.
And you're surrounded by woods there in northern Minnesota. That's got to be an inspiring setting for an instrument maker.
Well, it is. It's peaceful up here, so it's conducive to making instruments.
You live in a small town there in the North Woods. What is the demand like for fine handcrafted instruments like the ones you make?
From this town?
Yeah.
Absolutely zero.
Uh-huh.
No, it's not much. You got to be diversified to make a living doing this kind of thing up here. You know, there isn't a whole lot of music going on here, and with the school, it's band instruments. You know, I sell a few around here, but mostly you have to be in a larger city. You have to sell in a larger city because it's a specialized type of thing that a lot of people don't understand. And so they say, well, why would I pay that kind of money when I can just go buy one from eBay? So that difference is only known mostly to the player. But if it allows you to play 15 or 20% better and you practiced for 40 years, that's a huge thing.
You mentioned there's not a huge demand for fine handcrafted instruments in your area, but you and your wife, Pam, have been teaching lessons in that area. Can you talk about some of the ways that you're introducing your instruments and symphonic music to the North Woods?
Certainly with all my students, inevitably something will go wrong or it won't play right or whatever, and then I can explain to them how it all works. They're all invited to my shop anytime they want. I do the repairs for them. My wife got me into teaching. She's a fabulous pianist. She's been teaching in this area for, 30-some years. That was one of the reasons we got married. I got married a little later, and we both like music. So she talked me into teaching a little guitar and a little violin to some of the kids around here, and I absolutely love it. The kids are great. I mean, anybody that wants to learn how to play music is a good kid in my book. I'm very lucky in that I can do what I like to do.
And now, Bob, you're also teaching the craft of instrument making. Can you tell us a little bit about the luthier school that you're currently leading?
Well, that's one way to make money around here. Now, that's a little different perspective from this little town, because that's something that they'll invest in with their kids, because it's woodworking and it's got a lot of knowledge to it. Last year, actually, I taught two 19-year-old twins. I taught them violin making over the summer. And so I wanted to continue that every summer, and now I'd like to do it a little steadier, actually, in between teaching lessons. I have a father and son team here this summer from Brainerd. It's a neat story. The dad is close to 80 and the son is 47, but they're both up here making a guitar this summer. I think it's been beneficial. It certainly is beneficial to me as well. It keeps me moving. Always a plus. And make a little extra money, but it's very enjoyable. So I'd like to expand that and get some more students. So.
Oh, great. And that brings me to my next and final question, Bob, which is, what is the future of your shop? I mean, what's coming up next?
More of the same, I hope. Hopefully I'll gain a few more instrument makers around here, and that'd be great.
Well, Bob is a violin maker and now a teacher of his craft. He lives on the Minnesota side of the Canadian border. Bob, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bob Wenzel is a violin maker and teacher. He lives in War Road. He spoke with Northern Community Radio producer Alana Yust. This interview is part of Area Voices, our series bringing you the arts, culture, and historical stories of Northern Minnesota. Area Voices is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.